You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
And I'm Sam Tweedle. How you guys doing this weekend?
Pretty good.
Good. You all revved up and ready to talk about comics and stuff?
I am, but I got a squeaky chair.
Oh, yeah. I usually sit in that chair.
You want this chair?
No, not
particularly. Yeah, you're in the Gilpin chair.
I'm in the Gilpin seat today.
There you go.
You're off in the annex.
Okay.
The foyer.
I got a good look at everything that's going on in the studio right now. So.
Sometimes you need a different perspective.
Sometimes you need a different perspective. Certainly.
It's weird seeing you all the way over there without the mic, like the mic's in the way here.
Okay.
That's how much I have to talk about comics. I'm talking about mics.
Dan, what have you been doing all week that you haven't been reading comics?
I've been working.
Yeah, you've been working hard. I went and visited Dan at work yesterday.
Yes. Where are you working, Dan?
Sunrise Records.
Yay! Which, I might add, has a huge, huge stock of records now.
And records? Comic books. Do they have comics?
They don't have comic books.
What? But they do have records, and it was awesome. It was like coming into a vinyl paradise yesterday. I was very, very happy. So.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about records, although I could...
You talk about records quite a lot, though, so it's kind of like just a
I know, but did you see when we were coming in the studio today, there was a room full of records, and I just wanted to stay in there.
Okay.
So
maybe you can take your mic out there and
wait a second,
live
room
broadcast.
Room full of records at a radio studio.
Yeah,
that's
station.
Strange.
It was strange.
It's unheard of, actually.
It's crazy.
Uh-huh. But considering I'm the only one who actually brought comics to the studio today, perhaps I should stay here.
I haven't picked up comics in 2 weeks. Yeah. I think that's like a record for me.
Yeah, that's usually the story of my life, but I went into Toronto yesterday, so I stopped at the comic store on my way in. But I'm going back tomorrow with my buddy Marty, not to buy comics, just to hang out with Marty.
Yay.
Because that's fun.
Yay.
Yeah.
So you're going back to CBA tomorrow?
Yep, that's the plan.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll stop at some other places on the, you know.
Can't stay too late. I got to get back into town.
I also have to get back into town.
There you go.
So
what, you got a stack of books here. What do you got?
I do. I got a few books. Only one book I haven't talked about before, but Die Kitty Die, Hollywood or Bust, number 1, came out on The Stand by Chapter House. So we've been talking about that for a few months now, but now anyone who didn't subscribe to the Kickstarter can jump in. And I did have noticed that this time around, there seems to be a lot more buzz, even more web activity on Die Kitty Die over the last couple of days.
Well, yeah, because the original Kickstarter came out in the first 4 issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, Dan Dan Parent and Fernando Ruiz, they've pumped the living poop out of this comic and all the shows and stuff like this. And it's a good book, right?
Yeah, it's a fantastic book.
Second time around, this is the second 4-issue series, and sure, people are like, hey, I missed it the last time. I'm definitely going to pick it up this time.
So. And it is hilarious. I gave it a reread yesterday for the first time since it came out. And
but you've been reading the digital PDFs,
I've been reading
right?
the digital, yeah.
Because anybody who supported the Kickstarter got these things electronically ahead of time.
Yeah, so I reread it yesterday on the GO train, and I mean, everybody around me must have been annoyed because I'm sitting there laughing out loud at some of the psych eggs are just like Easter eggs and inside jokes are just fantastic in that.
Now anybody who doesn't know Die Kitty Die, basically what the story here is that both Dan and Fernando were very big Archie contributors, and they used to contribute to Archie Comics. And Archie, of course, just went through their fancy reboot with fancier writers, fancier artists, and stuff like this. So these two lads were stuck without work, and they decided to make a sort of a satirical version of the Archie universe.
Archie and also the Harvey universe plays thick into it. So it's a lot. But speaking about the Archieverse, I actually brought in Jughead number 15.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Mark Waid who's been you know what? I hate to admit it. Mark Waid kicks ass over on Archie.
What?
Like, he as a writer, he's great. He's writing good Archie.
I will say, though, that even though you were kind of down on the original Archie reboot, you always said that the writing was good.
It's been solid.
So you've been consistent.
Waid's been solid.
Always said that Mark Waid's been doing great.
Well, Jughead has been one of the problematic titles where it's kind of gone up and down.
Yeah.
So the first storyline with Chip Zdarsky was mediocre, and then the art with Eric Henderson was just dreadful.
Yeah.
And then the second story arc, which I can't remember the name of the guy who was writing that, it was really good, and the art was excellent. The art's actually been, Derek Charm has been doing the art ever since, but they've had a couple of fill-in writers that have been terrible, okay? Yeah. So it's been up and down. Mark Waid has taken over Jughead as well. I guess maybe Archie realized it's the problematic title, and they've decided to give it to Jughead. Now, the thing with Jughead is they want to make that book a little bit more comedy, a little bit more zanier. And Mark Waid has put together a really great story with Jughead featuring Justin the Pussycats and Sabrina the Teenage Witch in the same book, bringing in some of the other characters. And it's tons of fun. Mark Waid, you know what? I just like Mark Waid's writing. Mark Waid's solid no matter what franchise he touches. And I actually do like Derek Charm's art as well a lot because he's very cartoonish. So it's not quite what I want for my Archie, but it's close enough that I can look past some of the really terrible art they've put in some of these books. But again, Waid, you know, just kicking ass on this book, like the first issue anyway. So I hope Waid sticks around for that. But
well, I've been a fan of Mark Waid since he did his little run on Flash back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did that really amazing Captain America run with Ron Garvey just before they gave the title to Rob Liefeld to destroy.
Oy.
And everybody was always bitter because that was like a really, really great run. And because of this contract with the boys from Image, they kind of had to interrupt everything and lost a lot of steam there for 12 stupid issues. But yeah, he's been great.
Oh yeah, he's been great on this. Now the new book I brought in.
Okay, new book.
Okay. So we were all reading Aftershock comics for a little while there.
Yeah.
And I've kind of given up on Aftershock. I found that some of the books would start off strong and then just dwindle down to nothing. There seemed to be a lot of creators, but no kickback. And where I've sort of, right now, currently, the only Aftershock book I'm reading is Rough Riders by Adam Glass, has been a lot of fun. Well, Adam Glass has put out a new book over at Aftershock. I decided, since I love Adam Glass, you know what? Again, Adam Glass is another writer that I consistently like, no matter what he writes. He recreated the new 52 Suicide Squad, which, story-wise, was always fantastic. Some of his character concepts, maybe not so fantastic, but it was one of those things that, where I kind of hated everything he was doing the characters, but his cliffhangers and his story arcs were fantastic, right? So I would carry on. So anyways, he has this new book. It's called Normals. Number one came out on Wednesday. And this is the premise of the Normals. It's there's kind of a bit of a Westworld thing going on with Normals, where, what are you guys looking at?
I just got distracted.
I know you're quietly looking at something.
I just got distracted because there's this tab on the screen here that Dan's looking at. Says, a busty, beautiful redhead. And I'm like, what are you looking at while we're talking comics?
Die, Kitty, Die.
It's the Die, Kitty, Die article. I'm like,
Marty's like, send me that link later. Yeah. And I'm like, Marty, it's just comic books.
Okay.
What are you doing, Dan? You're surfing porn in the radio studio.
No.
Okay. So
we got distracted. Go ahead.
You sure did. So anyways, so Normals, there's a little bit of a Westworld vibe to it, but it's a little bit differently. And basically, it's about a family in suburbia. And one day, it's a mom and dad, a teenage daughter, and a little kid. Well, one day the dad's barbecuing and the little kid falls out of a tree and he notices like a loose wire and a spark. And when he goes to bring him to the doctor, they find that there's no records. And then so he goes home to talk to the goat, try to find family, but they have no history. And through the whole thing, by the end of the first issue, they learn that they're robots. But they've never known they were robots. Like, so who are they? Why were they created? You know what I mean? Like so it's a family of robots learning they're robots. Where they go, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good read. I'm definitely curious to see where it goes, so I'll be sticking with that for a while.
That's kind of cool.
And I brought in the latest issue of Black Hammer. I don't know why. I just love Black Hammer.
You were able to get your hands on some Black Hammer this week?
Yeah, well, I wasn't able to get a trade paperback, right? This is the latest issue that just came out. It is the origin story of Talkie Walkie. And if you're a Black Hammer fan, this book's going to break your heart. I think it's the saddest issue so far.
Okay, I'm not a Black Hammer fan for the sole reason that I've never checked it out. Okay. What? Tell me about it, because you obviously love this book.
I love this book. All right, what? This is why I love Black Hammer, and Marty backed me up on this.
Yeah, because I'm reading it too.
If you love comic books, if you have a true love of old vintage comics, you're going to love this book because it plays tribute to the Golden Age. It pays tribute to the Silver Age, the Modern Age, the Bronze Age, and it's all these different... It's all tributes to...
Screw the Copper Age.
What?
Screw the Copper Age.
Was there Copper Age?
Yes, there's Copper Age.
Is there? Okay. Well, anyways, you'll have to explain that in a second because I've lost out on it. But they make tributes to Kirby. They make tributes to the EC Comics. This one is a tribute to the DC Space Comics, stuff like Mystery in Space and Tommy Tomorrow and stuff like that. But basically, it pays tribute to all these kind of comics, but it has characterization and depth that you're not getting at Marvel and DC these days.
Yeah, like it's great original stories, mm-hmm. even though there's all these, like you said, these little Easter egg-y type, you know, callbacks to previous styles of comics. It's completely original as far as the story goes,
mm-hmm.
and mature, too. It's not, you know, like a kiddie version like it was in the Silver Age, right? There's no big, huge, giant telephones that the bad guys are fighting, but it calls back, and you're like, oh, that's kind of like a riff on this character, and oh, that's a riff on this character. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's a great book.
Yeah, it's basically about a superhero team that during a battle gets trapped in this small town on a farm.
They get banished, don't they?
Banished? They're trapped. I think they're trapped.
Well, they're trapped there, but I think they got banished.
Were they
there.
Banished? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's the thing is the story is evolving, right? It's being released out. The what I'm getting is that at some point in time, and it hasn't been spelled out specifically, but the feeling I got is that at some point in time there was this big battle, and something went wrong. Innocents got killed, or somebody got murdered, or you know, something went wrong. And the powers that be decided that this particular superhero team has to hang up their gloves, and they mm-hmm. they basically get banished to this town that has some sort of a magical field around it that they can't escape out of the town.
I'll even go a little bit further on that. I think that it's more of a meta thing in the sense that I think these characters were all like around the time that DC did the New 52, they took their Golden Age characters and they basically made them disappear,
yeah.
as if they never existed. And I've always looked at this book as being based on that. Well, what happened to these characters when you pluck them out of their comic world and you put them somewhere else?
Yeah.
This is where they are. They still exist, but where are they? So it's almost like if, like, during one of these big comic reboot type things, these were the characters that were pulled out of the universe and put on this farm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I did an interview with Jeff Lemire. He's the mm-hmm. writer, Canadian guy. And that's exactly what he said was that, you know, that was the sort of impetus towards creating this comic was the fact that what is going on with these characters that nobody's using?
Mm-hmm. You know,
what happened to them? They used to be part of history. They're not. Do they still exist somewhere in some pocket universe going, hey, what about me?
Yeah. And there's a lot of pathos in this book. And there's like one character is really trying to move on. Why some of the other characters are... stuck and have that feel of hopelessness and desperation. Some characters have gone insane. One character's dealing with his sexuality. And there's, like, a lot of really sort of more deep three-dimensional things going on with these characters. And as I said, it isn't... The depth of this book is not it's what you're getting from the average superhero book.
Yeah.
How many issues in is it? What nine, issue is I that? Think?
This is issue 9, yeah.
9 and 1 annual.
Yeah.
But and definitely, if you get the opportunity to pick up the trade paperback, you should, Dan, because I think you'd like it.
It's one, yeah. Issue 8, I think issue 8's been my favorite issue so far. That was the actual origin of Black Hammer. Black Hammer is a character who's dead before the series even starts.
Yeah.
And so at first they just kind of talk about him in whispers, but eventually you find out what happened to him and he was. And I think they're going to be doing more about Black Hammer as well. But the number issue 8 was the actual first origin of Black Hammer where you really get to know him. And it was all this huge tribute to Jack Kirby. So you had like throwbacks to Genesis and Apocalypse, like the DC Universe stuff, yeah. Darkseid, but also like the Inhumans. And there was like a dog, with the little crowbar, kind of like... Well, what's the dog's name from the Inhumans?
Lockjaw.
Like it was all drawn in Kirby-esque style. Like I love this cover too. Even the covers are homages to older covers because this is like the definitely 70s Bronze Age Marvel cover, but the story itself is more like okay, so those early 60s DC space stories. So
I'd lend you my first few issues, Dan, so you could catch up, but I'm scared you'd put them in your mouth.
That's never happened. I've never put a comic in my mouth ever.
Who has put a comic in their mouth, Dan?
In the studio?
In the studio.
Maybe we should have somebody raise their hand if they put their put a comic in their mouth. While in this studio, in fact,
we need to somehow work from the 70s,
yes.
The 80s, those Canadian.
Don't put it in your mouth.
Don't you put it in your mouth?
We need to work something from that episode into our opening credits, so that when we make these continual callbacks to it, everybody knows what we're talking about.
I think
about.
Actually, right after I do it, you actually do commentate it in this very dry.
Oh
tone.
My God, Sam just put my comic in his mouth.
Yeah, you do say that. So.
Maybe we'll work on a new intro or something.
Yeah, okay. So those are the comics I brought. This is stuff I read this week that, I've really solidly enjoyed.
Cool. Well, you were talking about Aftershock. I got a chance to review an Aftershock book.
What's that?
It was an advanced a copy called Jimmy's Bastards.
Oh, I'm ordering that one. That's on my list.
And basically what this is, now, James Bond. I'm a huge James Bond
Me
fan.
Me too.
Always loved James Bond. And at the end of every single James Bond movie, pretty much, James is always like drawing the curtains on with a young lady about, and ignoring the boss and stuff like this. And you know what's about to happen. Boom, jalagalagala, boom. So the premise of this is, now he's not James Bond, he's Jimmy Regent, but it's a satire, right? What happens to all of the illegitimate children?
Oh my God.
That he fathered? So basically what happens is it opens up just like a regular James Bond comic, right? There's a terrorist thing on an airplane. Some of the bad guys are like, there's a monkey with a brain inside a glass jar on his head. And, so it's a little bit more comic booky than a James Bond movie. And then they move to, he gets a new partner who's very straight laced and she does not approve of his antics and his chauvinistic / what's the word I'm looking for here?
Daring do?
No.
Misogyny?
Misogynistic tendencies and the way he treats ladies and stuff. And then it cuts to this secret chamber, and in the secret chamber, all these hooded figures, and they're all like chanting and doing this stuff, and they're all like, what we gotta do is we gotta kill Jimmy Regent. And they pull off their hoods and say, yes, death to dad! So it's like this entire room of illegitimate children that are so bitter about their father being this super spy that totally ignored them. And obviously there's some bad mommy stories there and stuff because, it's usually super villains are involved and stuff. So that's how the first issue starts
out. And the story's written by Garth Ennis.
Story's written by Garth Ennis, so the dialogue is just... I mean, it's just on par. It's just great. Nice and clippy and humorous and flows really well. The artist, I've never seen this artist before, Russ Braun, but his work is just fantastic. I mean, it looks fantastic. Now, I saw it in black and white. I didn't get a chance to see it in color. But his art is great.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, as I said, like I've almost I was done with Aftershock for a while, but starting next month I'll be picking up three of their books again, which is with Normals, Rough Riders, and I am ordering. It's Jimmy Bastard, right?
Yeah, Jimmy's Bastards.
Jimmy's Bastards, it's called?
Yeah, Jimmy's apostrophe S
Bastards. Bastards. Okay, so yeah, because I have that order too. So
what's it called again? Bastards. Can we say Bastards on the radio this many
Certainly
times?
Certainly we can.
There you go. Dan's all like shaking his head, but the radio show before us was much more colorful language.
Okay. Anyway,
The other thing that I saw today, and I don't know how I missed this entirely, is from Image Comics. It's called Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Oh, I saw that. You
how
posted
did you
that.
Miss this?
How did I miss this?
What?
How did I not know that this was happening?
What did that come from? Where did that come from?
I have no idea where it came from. Like honestly, like,
what company puts it?
Image.
Out?
Image. So basically, it's just this big, massive lumbersexual without a shirt, massive, huge beard, which is cool, and he just beats up bears, and it's like so ridiculous of a concept.
It looks fantastic.
It looks fantastic. The art's fantastic.
So when did it come out?
It hasn't come out yet. It's coming out in June. The first issue's coming out in June.
Well, it's not too late to order it.
Well, it is because it's over past the final cutoff date. So two, and three have already been.
You don't think Steve could not like.
I'm going to ask, but well, you I'm never know. I mean, too. He's never been great on picking up extra.
But you know
copies
who you know.
Books.
You know what comic store is good at getting
Worlds
extra.
Collide.
Worlds Collide will have it. We just got to make sure we're there on a Wednesday.
So I'm going to ask Steve for sure tomorrow when I stop in at CBA. But yeah. If he can't get them, then that's fine. I'll get them.
Yeah, I want that too. And I don't know.
That's my own fault for not pre-ordering them. But oh my goodness, this thing
it's
looks
a great.
Fantastic.
The cover is fantastic.
Well, there's a bunch of covers, but the one variant cover kind of looks like it's almost like a gold key.
Well, that's probably maybe why I didn't notice it was because I just know I saw you post. To that cover and it blew my mind.
Here's the regular cover.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh my god,
I do remember that.
This
actually
is like Shark Bear,
but you got to understand that did not make me go I want to buy that.
But the other cover
cover made me go oh my god, I want to buy this.
Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine why I don't know anything about this.
See now, so I because I get the Image previous
catalog,
book,
yeah
and I actually like mostly I just get it for the there's a Walking Dead Negan origin story in there that they've been telling over the past 10 months or so.
Yeah.
But I was flipping through one the other day and I was like, wait, what is this? And so I saw that and I was like, yeah, let's check that out.
No, it's five issues. So I don't know if I'm going to bother getting them in singles or just wait for the trade paperback. I haven't decided on that.
Kidding who? We're going to get them in singles.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But it looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like the cover that we were looking at, it looks like an old men's magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got so shirtless great. Bear fighter wearing a Vietnam-style army helmet on, and there's a damsel in distress, and they're in a swamp, and there's two panda bears attacking them all ferociously, and you know there's going to be some pandemonium.
Pandemonium. You know what the greatest thing about panda bears are?
What? They're not bears?
They're not racist.
Oh.
Well. Because they're black and white and Chinese.
There you go. Do they only come from China?
Yeah.
There's no other little...
No.
Machu Picchu or...
They're pretty much Chinese bears.
There you go. I don't know too much about pandas, except that they're not bears. They're koalas.
Koalas are bears.
No, they're marsupials.
And the panda bear is also a marsupial?
I don't know. Why are you asking me biology
questions?
Because
you just said that. You just
I'm a computer guy who reads comic books.
Just,
I don't
you
know
just,
anything
you
about
just
biology.
You just said the pandas weren't bears.
I make
Marty,
this stuff
what's
up.
The Canadian Mayflower?
Exactly.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know what the Canadian Mayflower is.
I mean, neither did I, to be fair, but...
You know,
whatever.
What's the first boat that came over here with a whole bunch of people named Shaw? Because there's a lot of them.
Wasn't it like the Blue Nose?
No, it wasn't the Blue Nose. Blue Nose was a racing schooner. You know that those racing sail ships that you see all the time and the big contests that they do?
I was making a joke. I didn't really mean that.
That's because I know the Blue Nose.
All right. Well, anyways.
So are we a comic show or a history show?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought we were a record show.
Well, you know what? Can I talk a little bit, do a little bit of a thing? I blew Chris's mind. Chris is in Toronto tonight, isn't he?
Chris Gilpin, yep.
Chris Gilpin. And we were all talking last weekend.
You guys all you Chris's, I'm sorry. I got to interrupt here for a second. Change your name. Okay? Forget about all the Daves I know. Do you know how many Chris's I know? All of you.
We know a lot of Chris's and a lot of Dan's.
Change your name.
Anyway.
Colton's available. Dalton's available. What other dumb names are out there? If your name's Dalton or Colton, I apologize. Not really, because they're dumb names. You should kick your mother. But
Niall,
Chris. Oh my God! Do you know how many Chris's I know?
I know. Okay,
it's ridiculous. So, ex-wife.
So Chris. me, and
daughter's
Chris.
Boyfriend, Chris. Chris in the studio. Chris Ellis. Chris.
Okay. So, anyways, me and Chris were talking last week about Captain America, and Captain America. He made some kind of snarky snort about Captain America being a Hydra agent right now.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking about it, and I don't know how this came to mind, but just bear with me. Let's talk this over. Let's debate this. But do you think that them turning Captain America into a Nazi is sort of a political commentary on the state of America today?
Yes.
You do?
Absolutely.
That the basically America.
Right, he's not necessarily a Nazi. There's a little bit of a difference between a Hydra in the Marvel Universe history and a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if you read the history.
All right, explain the difference.
Yeah, if you read the history of it, it's almost like Hydra is a secret organization that was behind the Nazis and is older than the Nazis.
Okay.
And survived the Nazis. And
but
like even in the Captain America flick that's on TV in the movie theaters. They're kind of pushing the Nazis in a certain direction.
Okay. So they're like earlier they're the pre-Nazis.
Yeah, they're the super secret right. Illuminati type organization.
But it just occurred to me that the way that politics are in the U.S. right now, like let's finish. We're under the Trump, and I don't want to get too political. Well, it's too late. So with the Trump administration, which is extremely unpopular worldwide. I can't speak to maybe some pockets of America, but worldwide they're extremely unpopular. Oh, the Russians seem to like them. It's like.
Yes?
I'm trying to find my words carefully, but it's kind of like.
There is a certain element of fascism that's.
Thank
like,
you.
Like the Republican Party and the ultra-right wing. Are getting so right wing that we're leaning into fascism. And I mean like the pure political definition of fascism.
Thank you.
The pure political the definition of communism is not what happened in Russia. The pure definition of fascism is
okay. You worded that perfectly. I was trying not to say it, get all inflammatory, but it just occurred to me though
and that Hydra is the stereotypical.
So
it
just
evil
occurred to me that if Captain America is the personification of the American way, by turning him into the Hydra agent, it's like Captain America is now the personification of what America is today, or what America unfortunately has become. And until we do something about the Trump administration, Steve Rogers is become a personification of that thinking, that brand.
Now, are you reading Secret Empire?
No.
Okay, because they just revealed something in the last Secret Empire issue that blows that right out.
I did see that, actually. I saw that online. It was spoiled for me.
Yeah.
Do you want to see what it is?
Basically, if you haven't read it, I don't care. I don't like Marvel Comics at the moment. So it's Secret Empire. It's a horrible. Somebody else spoiled it a week ago. So it's not no sweat off my back. But basically, Steve Rogers is Captain America. He's fascist right now. He's a Hydra agent. He always has been. He's always been working for Hydra. And everybody's, you know, being shot and killed and all sorts of bad things are happening. And then the comic cuts to this guy coming out of the woods looking like shirtless bear fighter, but he's not shirtless bear fighter. And he says, "I'm sorry, I'm lost. My name's Steve Rogers." So it's like, oh, okay, so the other Captain America, Steve Rogers, that's a fascist, he's not actually.
But the thing is, it means that the true America is still out there in the woods somewhere. It's just a little lost right now.
Well, I just think it's a cheap story gimmick because it's like, everybody's hating on this, everybody's hating on this, everybody's hating on this. Don't worry, we didn't actually do it. We didn't touch the real Captain America. This is a fake Captain America that went bad.
This is what Nick Spencer meant when he was like, read it till the end because we're just going to do the same thing we always do.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what?
A world-shattering,
nothing has changed.
Universe-altering comic book experience. But yeah, so, I mean.
Because it's just a cop-out.
Oh, it's a cop-out. It's a badly written story. People are defending it, and there's no defense of it. It's just a bad story. Everyone's like, well, did you read the comic? I'm like, yes, I did, and it's poorly written. I'm sorry.
I'm just done with crossovers of any type.
Exactly.
Although I do admit that I really regret not buying the last Flash Batman crossover.
Well, you'll be able to get it as a deluxe hardcover for $20.
Yeah, I saw that. It's in the latest previews.
Yeah, so it'll be all four issues. Yeah.
I still need the last Flash issue from that. I fell off the wagon and haven't been to the comic store for a few weeks.
There you go.
What are you doing tomorrow, Dan?
Working.
There you go. Mm,
can you call in sick?
Mm, no.
Especially when we've already said it on the radio.
Yes. Hi, my boss. I'm sick.
Wait, aren't you the boss?
Not the full boss.
Oh.
Now, since we're hating on Marvel a little bit, because
don't you dare hate on DC.
Because we're DC fanatics. Amazing Spider-Man 25 came out. It had a 20-some-odd page story. It had a backup story. Then it had some filler stories. And it was $10.
Yes.
Right? And everybody's like, well, Aquaman's got a little bit of an anniversary coming out. It's his 25th issue. They've got a new artist who is just phenomenal. I mean, this is all painted and stuff, and this is great. Like, at no point in time, you know, everyone's Aquaman's lame. The book's been solid ever since New 52. So they're coming out with the 25th, the issue 25, introduction new artist, introduction new storyline, 40 pages of story.
Wow.
$3.99.
Wow.
They're giving you 20 extra pages of story, so they're doubling the page count of this story, and it's one story, not a bunch of backup features and stuff, according to this, and regular price.
Wow, how about that,
Not jacking up the price at all.
Way to go, DDC.
I mean, it's like, here you go, here's this here's this gift. Like, look at this art. That's just amazing.
That is good. Like, oh, but they're trying to make him look like Khal Drogo.
Well, he's Aquaman. Of course, they're going to try to make him look like the guy who's going to play him in the TV show.
Oh, that's lame.
But he's had that look before with the long hair.
Yeah, but I don't know.
So long as he doesn't have the claw anymore.
As long as he has an orange shirt, I guess I'm happy.
I hate the claw. Remember when he?
Oh, I remember when he had it in his claw.
He lost his hand.
But remember when he had like the bubble
hand made out of water.
The water bubble hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Mira gave him the
like it's everybody's. They've tried to make Aquaman cool so many times, and the best way to make Aquaman cool is just to keep him lame.
There you go.
Right, like he's much better.
Oh, I'm digging the book. I liked it in the New 52, which is weird because I didn't like a lot of the New 52 stuff, but I love it as it's in the Rebirth. It's just fantastic.
Another thing I noticed in the previews. So of course, the preview orders came. Sneak peek came out in at what is it? Newsarama.
Yeah, yeah.
And. There's a trade paperback coming out celebrating Harley Quinn's 25th anniversary.
There you go.
The 25th anniversary of Harley Quinn. That is insane to think that she's been around for 25 years. Yeah. But when you think about it, she has been.
Well, of course she has.
But it doesn't seem like she's been around for 25 years.
It does when you're at a convention.
You know, I should explain myself a little bit. I've been making a lot of jokes, both online and on the radio, about going to conventions and seeing 1,000 Harley Quinn cosplayers.
That's because there is 1,000 Harley Quinn
cosplayers. And I've had a couple people ask me, you know, mainly online, what I have against Harley Quinn or what I have against cosplayers. And the problem is I love Harley Quinn. She's actually one of my favorite comic characters and always has been since for at least, 23 years. And I love cosplayers. I mean, it's such a part of the experience of going to these things. My problem is I want variety. I don't want to see the same costume 1,000 times. And the Harley Quinn thing right now is just so out of control. I'm thinking, what if some of those people put energy into, you know, going as Raven or Swamp Thing or...
Warlord,
you know, or Kitty Pryde or any other character... That's not Harley Quinn, you know.
You can just drop into a Hot Topic and buy every single piece of the costume and just put it on.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It's not like it's even difficult, because that's the one thing that I like about cosplay is people going out making their own costumes, doing some kind of an original interpretation of it or something like that, and you know, actually pouring the same kind of fandom and enthusiasm that I have for the books, they're pouring it into their costume, and you can see that, right? The folks that just go and buy a costume and throw it on, it's like, you know, really?
Yeah. No, exactly. So I'm just, So I don't have anything against Harley Quinn, and I don't think have anything against cosplay. But what I do have, I'm just going to say, anybody out there who's thinking about going to convention and they're thinking about dressing up as a Harley Quinn, stop and think for a second. Because guess what? You're not going to be noticed. Because there's going to be 999 other people in the same costume.
Well, and the unfortunate...
Not if you go as the classic Harley Quinn, though.
And the unfortunate thing is... Only the movie Harley Quinn. The unfortunate thing is that there are people out there that are as fanatical as I was mentioning... And they do have the enthusiasm, and it so happens that Harley Quinn is their favorite character.
Well, they've been doing Harley Quinn for 15, 20 years.
You know? So yeah. There's going to be a few folks out there that have the I guess it's a little bit of elitism against posers is the kind of what I'm feeling here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it kind of sucks because, you know, everybody should be inclusive and blah, 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 and everybody should get a participation ribbon and blah, 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 blah. But if you got lazy cosplay, you got lazy cosplay, period.
That's it. I used to have the same problem with Matt Smith Doctor Who costumes.
Yeah, exactly. It's not difficult. Like, anyways.
Anyways.
It is what it is.
But I just wanted to make that straight to anyone who's been wondering. It's not cosplay and it's not Harley Quinn. Those are two things that I love.
And my bigger issue with the Harley Quinn cosplay is that, you know, in today's day and age, now I'm a fella. I'm heterosexual. Raised during the Wonder Woman on TV and Wilma Deering on Buck Rogers.
Mm.
And I appreciate a good-looking young lady as much as the other fellows do. But for somebody to like slip on the slinky costume and go to a comic convention and sell posters of herself, it's got this really kind of dirty, almost penthouse Playboy... kind of vibe to it. Like
I've never seen that.
Oh, what are you talking about? Like just underneath the escalators?
Yeah.
They always have a big, huge, long row of professional cosplayers.
Oh, really?
And what they do is they charge you $25 to take a picture with them.
Mike, are you kidding? I've never seen this.
Oh, yeah. And they have the prints. I mean, I could name off the group.
I'm obviously not paying attention to this.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure the ladies are fine young ladies themselves, and they're just making a buck and stuff. But I just don't think that's necessarily part of the hobby that we need. We're already over sexualizing the bodies of the male heroes and the female heroes in comics, and you know, the boob window on Power Girl and
hey, you're all about the boob window
because, you know, I'm a guy, but that doesn't necessarily
you love that
that
boob
doesn't
window.
Necessarily mean I'm that comfortable with it. Now, that being said, I mean, I have a friend, a Facebook friend, not a personal friend, that she's a professional cosplayer, and she sent me an autographed photograph of her in a Power Girl costume and stuff like this, and I got to hang on the wall. But I have it hanging on the wall. Ironically, it's not like I clipped out the Sunshine Girl and put it in my locker like the guys at GM used to do.
That's ironic.
Well, the fact that it's on the wall and everybody's like, "Oh, look, you got like a cheesecake photo on your." On
I
the
never
wall.
Thought it was ironic. I thought it's.
What's in my office at work?
Well, no, I know, but I thought that's just because you really like Power Girl.
And it's right beside my diploma from the Xavier Institute that everyone doesn't realize is...
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
I got to take another look at that. I thought it was a real diploma.
No.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
I got a diploma hanging on my wall. It's fake. But
that's great.
Yeah, it's from the Charles Xavier School. Huh. And nobody's noticed it.
I've never noticed it. No, I got to take a look at that.
So, I mean, it is what it is.
I guess.
I don't know. I just feel kind of, you know, just like we don't need swimsuit issues like we had in the 90s. We don't need that anymore.
You know what? Looking back, I have a bunch of those, and looking back, that was a really stupid idea.
Yeah. You know,
that was really that was a really stupid idea.
And I like reading comics. To me, yes, a great piece of art amplifies it, but I'm there for the story. I'm there for the dialogue. I'm there for more than just the eye candy. I'm not a guy who likes reading a comic book that's just art with no story.
But going back to the cosplay thing, like I'm thinking of some of my favorite cosplay I've seen over the last couple of years, and I mean, it's not been Harley Quinn.
No, but it's always been some
because
obscure character.
Yeah, like one time I saw this guy in Toronto, and he was dressed up as Wilson Fisk.
Yeah,
did you
exactly.
see this guy? And the guy had to be about 300 pounds. Okay, and he had like the white jacket, and he had the cane with the jewel on it, and he had the ascot, and he was classic Spider-Man, Wilson Fisk, and he looked exactly like him. And then I think it was at the same show. I saw this little girl. She was maybe about 10 or 11, and she was dressed up as Gem from Gem and the Holograms, but it was perfect. Like, I mean, you could tell her mom painstakingly dressed her up like the 80s version of the cartoon character. And I remember looking at this, like I bumped into this kid and I looked and I said, I really love your costume. And she was just in heaven because someone told her they liked her costume. But to me, that's clever. You know what I mean? Like these characters that, I don't know, find your next favorite character. You know what I mean? Like, I think that people who are, you know, come as second and third tier. Oh, do you ever see that guy? He sometimes comes to Toronto and he's dressed up Luke Cage in the yellow shirt and the metal headband. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's just, I guess we're just tired of seeing the exact same costume over and over and over and over again. You know, something that somebody went to somebody went to Hot Topic, bought all the pieces to it, and is walking around in fishnets, you know?
Yeah. And it's enough is enough.
I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Okay, so let's talk about something more positive.
Well, I had a chance meeting on the internet with Sandy Carruthers, who's been doing a lot of Canadian comic books over the years and involved with a whole bunch of different properties and stuff. And he's got a little online comic called Canadiana. It's a female Canadian superhero with a big maple leaf on her shirt and a big maple leaf on her shield and stuff. Well, him and Mark Shane Bloom, creator of Northgard, have gotten together. And Mark is writing and Sandy is drawing. And it's going to be a Canada 150 special comic book, Canadiana's Sesquicentennial. This is not a word a Polish person should try to pronounce. Sesquicentennial. Why can't we just say 150th?
All right.
Just say 150th.
Canada's 150th struggles. Will Canada 150 mean Canadians and Canada's worlds is coming? And you know me, I'm an absolute fanatic, addict, you know, mental patient when it comes to Canadian comics. So I'm all over this. And the cover looks exactly like one of the old Marvel Treasury editions. So I'm just going to just be all over this. So we're going to interview the heck out of both of them for the site. And it just looks like it's going to be awesome. So that's coming out July 1st for Canada Day. Sandy's going to have more details on his Facebook page and stuff. So we'll have some more links and stuff on our Facebook page. And, looks interesting. I like it.
I think the thing I saw that looked kind of interesting, I'm not sure how much I'm going to buy it into it, but again, it was when Newsarama did their previews page, but they're doing a bunch of one-shots for Kirby's... 100th birthday, yeah. And the one that really caught my eye was the Black Racer and Shiloh Norman. That's the one.
Oh, that's not the one I'm getting.
See, I think the Black Racer could be my favorite Jack Kirby character.
It's a guy in a motorcycle suit with a
knight's helmet.
Knight's helmet on skis, and he's basically death.
Yeah.
He runs around taking your souls on skis.
Yeah, yeah. It's just. He's in a motorcycle, and the reason he's called Black Racer is because he's black. So
and you had to identify black characters in the 70s by the word black.
Right.
Black so Lightning, Black Panther.
Which we've already explained in previous shows.
Exactly. Yeah, and he's also, I think he was kind of a parody of the Silver Surfer, right? Like he wanted to do like another cosmic guy on some kind of dumb thing. He's like, you know what? He's going to be a skier. So he has ski poles.
We've already got surfing. What can we do, guys? What can we do? Skiing, that's it.
Yeah, so basically it's Death on skis with this big, knight's helmet. And now Shiloh Norman was Mr. Miracle's apprentice in the old 70s comic. Basically, he was a young African-American lad that was brought in to... take over Mr. Miracle's stage show on Earth when he went back to New Genesis. And they've brought Shiloh Norman back a few times. He was a member of the Justice League very briefly during the Bwahaha era. And he was also...
He was?
Shiloh Norman was, yeah. Yep.
I remember that.
And they also had Shiloh Norman when Grant Morrison did the Mr. Miracle book during the Seven Soldiers.
Right, yeah.
A series that was Shiloh Norman as well. So that was one that caught my eye. I think
I'm getting the Dark Side one for sure.
What's going on in that one?
Well, that's just Dark Side.
Doing what?
Doing Dark Side-y things.
Okay, cool.
I was a huge fanatic for all that New Gods stuff.
Yeah, oh, so, I love that
so
stuff.
So all you got to do, like one issue's called New Gods Special. Done. Buying. Dark Side Special. Done. Buying. Mr. Miracle 12-issue series.
I'm planning on buying that. Yet you're not going to get Black Racer?
I don't know if I was going to get
Black Racer. Black Racer is a new god.
Yeah, but yeah, he was never. Are they doing?
He's not my new god.
Yeah. Are they doing a Forever People?
I didn't see a Forever People. That's too bad because I love the Forever People.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah. They tried. They had a terrible. Did you read that Forever People title they did for the New 52?
No.
Oh, God, it was terrible.
No, I didn't.
It was just awful. I think I have the first few issues.
I think
unless
the,
I sold
I think
them
by that
by
time,
now.
The New 52 was just.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a nightmare. You know, I like Big Bear was gay, and Beautiful Dreamer was with Black Vulcan. Wasn't that his name? No, what was the name of the African American guy from New Gods? Not New Gods, Forever People.
No, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah,
that was a while ago.
Yeah, I love the Forever People though.
They've I did just been. Get like a Forever People omnibus digital thingy. Cool. So it's got every single issue. So I'm going to read that up.
Very
yeah,
cool.
No, I was just I'm just into it. Like let's just do it. Just mm-hmm. just.
So yeah, I think some of those are going to be exciting. Also, remember I was talking about the Looney Tune books and how I kind of wanted to buy those. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll just wait because they're going to be in a trade eventually. That trade paperback has also been offered. The Looney Tunes DC character crossovers will be in a trade. So I'm gonna pick that up, I think, within the next previews.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Did I miss the actual comics already? Did they already come
out? No, they haven't come out
not
yet.
Not the Looney Tunes ones. There was
the Hanna-Barbera ones.
Hanna-Barbera ones.
Which I actually picked up, so I'll make my like sole contribution to the comic-related talk today by saying that I picked up the Booster Gold Flintstones Hanna-Barbera one.
How was it?
Right on.
It was, like, I expected it to be, because it's Hanna-Barbera, or, you know, Flintstones. I expected it to be, like, a little childish, but it was very adult.
Mm. Well, yeah, like, some people are saying that the
very
new...
adult.
They said that the Jetsons backup feature was supposed to be pretty hardcore.
Like they're making like I didn't read the Jetsons backup yet, but like they're making like Viagra jokes and, you know, jokes about sizes of things, and there was a lot of people who were eaten by dinosaurs gruesomely, and I was not expecting that, but it was a fun read.
I picked up the Suicide Squad Banana Splits one, but I mainly picked it up for the backup story. I wanted this to read the Snagglepuss backup story.
Now, was the Snagglepuss story the same good? In everyone?
What do you mean?
Was it the one that you were so hyped about months
right.
ago?
But isn't that one in all of them?
No, it was only in... No, it was only... They all have a backup story, but it's like sort of a preview of a book that will be coming out later.
Really? Because I read the Snagglepuss one and I didn't get the comic you're talking about.
Okay, because the one that Dan's talking about had the Jetsons backup story that made a lot of headlines.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I was saying there when you were talking about the Flintstones, the series that came out was a little bit more adult.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are saying it's a bit of a hidden gem, that it was actually really, really good. I haven't read it, so...
I don't want to read a Flintstones book where John Goodman looks like Fred.
He doesn't look like John Goodman.
He does, too.
He does not.
He does, too.
He does not.
Yeah, but you know
me.
He
doesn't look like John Goodman now.
No, not now. But you know, that's...
The Flintstones actually were barely in the comic book.
Yeah.
It was mostly like Booster Gold and then like honestly 10 lines from Fred in the whole comic book.
Mm.
But they destroyed like the Flintstones time period because it was about time travel and stuff.
Yeah. So it should be interesting. But we're talking about previews. Now, there was just the advanced previews. I always kind of just grab it real quick and kind of peruse it and don't really digest until the actual previews comes out. So I haven't looked at it in depth. That's why I didn't know whether Forever People's in it. But it's got the Dark Knights metal crossover event from DC.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, not really. And to be honest with you, I'm so evented out. Like Lazarus Contract and Teen Titans. I am so not buying the issues that I was missing.
Neither
am
I. I got the first part, and I don't care about the rest of
it. So I don't have the full story. I'm kind of lost. I'm not loving that. And then they've also got this Nightwing miniseries / crossover event that's coming out where Nightwing basically pulls a Captain America and becomes a fascist.
Great.
So it's supposed to be an Elseworlds kind of thing where he decides he knows better than everybody, all the other heroes, and he decides to take over everything, which sounds like the plot of the Injustice.
Yeah, that right, does.
Where Superman did that. So again...
The Nightwing one is set in the future, though.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like an Elseworlds slightly parallel in the future dimension. It's not supposed to be like the regular...
Yeah.
But excuse me. Even then, I was just like, oh, I don't know about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, another little bit of news. Do you guys don't mind? It was announced this week with... you guys, as you guys know, I love the DC Superhero Girls franchise. I just think those are so cool. I do collect the dolls. They announced this week that there is going to be a regular cartoon series coming on the air that's going to be developed by the woman who did the My Little Pony cartoon. And they're using all the basic characters that they've introduced so far, but they've announced two new DC Superhero Girls that'll be joining the main cast. One being Zatanna, and the other being the Green Lantern from Green Lanterns.
Jessica Cruz?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she will
That's
be.
Cool.
She's going to be in the new cartoon as well as Zatanna with, again, Bumblebee and Batgirl, Supergirl, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, and all that. Last week, I actually managed to get my hands on the three new DC Superhero Girl dolls, which you cannot get in Canada. They're exclusive to Amazon.com. And I tried to order them from Amazon.com, and they would not ship them to Canada. So I had to ship them to a cousin of mine's place in Illinois, and she had to reship them to me. And I got them at a pretty good price. I mean, shipping cost a bit. I had to reimburse my cousin. So I got these dolls, and I was really excited. The new ones are Starfire, Katana, and Killer Frost. My favorite one's the Killer Frost one. She's really, really cool.
Did you ever find out that friend of yours, did you ever find out what character she's going to be doing in the cartoon?
Yeah, she is doing Lena Luthor, Lex Luthor's sister.
Yeah, pulling her out from the is there a Lena Luthor in comics?
There is. She was the main villain in the first arc of Superwoman.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. What happens, I got these dolls, and then online they just announced that there's another one coming out that's going to be from Amazon.com. And you know who the new doll they're making is? Blackfire, Starfire's sister. So they're making a Blackfire. So I'm like, what? I just got the new ones. Now I need to go through all this again to get the Blackfire one. And so I guess I do. So, but maybe I should wait till Zatanna and Green Lantern comes out because
Get all three again.
Yeah, but I thought that was a really interesting choice. What's her name again?
Jessica Cruz.
I thought that was an interesting choice. I would have thought maybe they would do someone they like Jade or Rizzi or somebody.
But. Well, she's part of the Green Lantern comic book, right? She's one half of the two Green Lanterns there in Green Lantern, so it makes sense that.
Yeah, I've read Green Lanterns and I love the character and I love the book, but. I just thought that was a really interesting choice. It also makes me wonder if they're going to maybe bring out Jesse Quick eventually because they haven't brought out a speedster yet.
But that so because I was actually thinking when you said they added Jessica Cruz, like, but all they're doing is making a female version of the Justice League then.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Instead of it being their own team though.
But they've brought out some, as I said, like some of the oddball ones, like bringing out Killer Frost and I guess and Starfire. Like they've. Bumblebee. Bumblebee's always been the and Katana was an interesting choice. You can get Katana. Actually, Amazon.ca offers Zatanna Katana to get, but she's $150 if you want to get her from Amazon.ca.
Probably because it's just some guy selling his.
Yeah. Third or you can get her for $25 and send it to your cousin and get them to send it up to you.
And pay $150 in shipping.
No, it was only $40 US for shipping. Once for all three.
Yeah.
That's what it cost me. So I'm really excited about the new cartoon. I've tried to watch those little 10-minute animated ones on the and they don't appeal to me. The designs do, the characters do, what they're doing does. The books have been great, but I've never liked the little cartoons. But I think the one developed by the My Little Pony team, I think that's gonna be pretty interesting. So I'm looking forward to that.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed I'm not sure if this is in conjunction with the Wonder Woman movie coming out shortly, but the Vixen cartoon, like a movie version of it.
Oh, wow.
So it was originally one of those little 15-minute things, wasn't it? Did they maybe put it all together to make one disc? So you can go to Walmart and buy the Vixen cartoon.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice how everybody was whining that there wasn't a lot of promotion for Wonder Woman? And it's like, oh, there's no TV spots. And then like a week later, boof, it's all over TV. There's like trailers all over the place and they're pumping it. And everyone's like, see, social justice works. They put it all out because we were whining. it takes longer than a week to put together a marketing campaign like that. Come on now.
Yeah. What are your Wonder Woman plans, guys?
Well, go see it.
Yeah, I'm going on Thursday night.
I'm probably going to take my daughters and stuff like that. So I'll have to figure out exactly when it's showing.
I'll be in at Niagara Comic Con next weekend. So
picking up Captain Canuck comes.
I'm going to try. Definitely, if I can get two, I will. But yeah, there's a Captain America. Now, is it? They're just giving out 500 free ones. But are they selling some somewhere?
I'm assuming that if they're giving out 500 free ones when you walk in the door on Friday. So I'm going to assume that somebody's going to try to flip them or some dealer's going to try to have a few. And if it costs me $6-$10 for one of these issues, then that's fine. I need to have one.
Okay. I'm going to do what I can. I'm only going on Sunday. That's the... So at least 48 hours will go by before I'm even there.
You would think the lovely folks at Chapter House would just like automatically put these to the side and just send them to me and charge my credit card, but they don't.
Do you have a Chapter House contact that will be there that I can speak with?
They don't. I'm not sure. Tony White, he's one of the editors there. He's been great about picking stuff up, and he's managed to get me one of the East Coast ones.
Okay.
Well, so he's sending that in my direction, so that's nice.
You might want to talk to him and see.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be at Niagara.
We'll figure it out.
He's from the East Coast, right?
Oh, okay.
What about Andrew?
I don't know. Andrew got me those cowboy ones. How many times can you ask all your friends and for favors? However, Andrew, hey, buddy.
I can pick it up. He doesn't need to send it to you. I'll stop by and get it for
you. We'll see what happens. So, I'm sure I'll be able to get it in the aftermarket if nobody can and pay through.
Well, I'm going to do what I can to get you that book.
I noticed a couple of people selling the free comic book day one for $50 on eBay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got one of those.
Well, $50.
Has anybody paid $50 for it?
I don't think so.
Do you guys want to know what happened to Luann this week?
You got a minute and a half.
Luann has a broken foot.
No.
Okay.
That's it.
Is it because of the couch or the TV?
Did the stolen TV fall on her foot?
No, it doesn't matter what the stolen TV is.
Because it was some no-name guy.
No, it was, that's right. It was during her double date last week. Mm-hmm. Jack dropped the bowling ball on her foot, and her foot's broken.
One of these days I'm going to sit down and actually read that damn strip. I used to, every morning, there would be like five or six web comics I used to read. Yeah. And they've all fallen away.
That's what I do.
I barely read any of them.
I read Dick Tracy and Luann. It's first thing I do in the morning. Well, I think I check my email first.
I used to read Least I Could Do, and I haven't read that in a year.
It's usually email, Facebook, Luann, Dick Tracy.
There you go. Yeah. I've been just too busy at work. Well, I think that might be it.
That's all the time we've got, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for having me again, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
That makes me sound like I'm a guest.
No.
I like being here. I'm not here next week. I'm in Niagara. So if you guys, any listeners are in Niagara, look for me.
There you go. He'll be the one wearing the comic book t-shirt.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?